Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Say, Father, I thank you that tonight, by the Spirit, I receive your grafted truth into my spirit, that I can learn by it, that I can operate in it throughout this year, not only for my life, but for the lives of those I'm to impact. Father, I yield myself as an instrument of righteousness for your use. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to confirm what Pastor Miranda said there, in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who you are. That's who the body of Christ is this evening. Amen. Just before I jump in here, I also want to encourage you. I love it, Pastor. That's exactly, I saw it on the house and I saw it upon our pastors, that grace that they would operate in. But I wanted to encourage you young people in here tonight, and that's anybody who's under 100, you're young. But I want to encourage you, the Bible says, even the youth shall grow tired and weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to encourage any of you, even through this fasting time, the Bible says your health will spring forth speedily. I felt that on my body this week. I thank God for it. You can ask my wife. I've got energy, and I don't know where it's coming from because I'm not down in any Red Bulls. But it's surging through me, and even my rest has been sweet. And I thank God. I'm going to testify to that because that's what happens when you obey the word of God and do. He said your health will spring forth speedily. But I want to encourage you. Paul said this. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for in weakness his strength is made perfect. So some of you young ones have been going at it. I know you're young and vital and you got lots of energy, but some of you have just been weary and tired. You'd say, man, I've been sleeping and I don't understand. I'm telling you, there's going to be a grace that's going to come upon you. You're going to feel the strength of God. Amen? Just receive that tonight. If that's you, just say, Father, I thank you. I receive that tonight. A supernatural strength, that the strength, his strength is made perfect. Amen? Amen. Well, let's jump right in this evening. We're going to jump in. This is under the new birth and lordship. Hallelujah. Of course, last week we covered the sin and salvation. One of the areas we talked about just briefly, which was in the notes there, is who was our master before we got born again? Anybody know who your master was? Satan, whom the God of this world hath blinded that they should not obey the truth. But now we don't serve him anymore, right? We've been called out of darkness, as Peter just said there, into his marvelous light. So we got a new master. We got a new kingdom. And this is what we're going to talk about, the new birth. What does that actually mean? If you have your Bibles, turn, if Sister Jamie will put it up there, to John chapter 3. And you may understand, well, I don't know what the new birth is, but are you able to communicate that to others? Jesus was trying to communicate that to Nicodemus in this passage. You have that, Sister Jamie? take your time and hurry up. No, just kidding. Praise God. She back here?
No.
Oh. All right. I had some scriptures here. I was really, if you could, because we're going to have a bunch of them. I want to try to get through them. Write down these three words, if you would, if you got a chance. These are three words every Christian should live by. The first one's a dirty word. Submit. Of course, we think it is, but it's not really. Submit. The first word is submit. Write that down. The second word, serve. There we go. Thank you, Pastor. And the last word is faithfulness. The funny thing about submission, and even when you come in, out of the kingdom of darkness, you know, I didn't have to go around submitting myself to the devil. I was part of his kingdom. I enjoyed sin. I rallied in it. I didn't have to go, "Oh, Lord, the devil's making me go sin again this weekend." You know, you didn't have to, right? But there's something about it. Because of the nature, the fallen nature, we talked about that last week, that we were alienated from God, that there was a nature that was created in fallen man. That nature automatically is anti-God. It works against righteousness. It works against holiness. It's a nature that we're all born in, right? The Bible says we all were born into sin, shapen in iniquity, the Bible says. So that nature is not something we have to learn how to become. You know, my son and my daughter, for some reason, I didn't have to teach them how to say no or how to be disobedient, Pastor Miranda. They just somehow, they figured it out. And at an early age, so I know some, they didn't get it in school. It was far before school. About the time they were probably one or two, they come along and just said that magic word, no. And I thought, dear Lord, what demon has possessed my child? But see, the rod of correction, amen, will drive off every evil spirit. Now, we don't have to learn that nature, but there is a new nature. We're a new creation, as I said last week, a species that's never existed before. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into his marvelous light. So now we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're a new creation, a new species. Then what's that mean? I thought about this, Pastor Brian. I didn't get a book when I got saved. And they gave me that new birth, but God just didn't download and automatically knew. I had an example I thought about a while ago. I said, one time Austin was helping me with something. I automatically thought he knew how to use that wrench or how to use that screwdriver or how to cut that. And I just thought he got it by osmosis or something. But no, he had to learn, right? I have to teach. And I love what Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's something about it. When you'll yoke up with Christ as a born-again Christian, you'll learn of his ways. And his ways are so much easier. I don't have to pay the penalty of sin. The Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season, but the wages of sin are death. But what does Jesus give us? He gives us the gift of eternal life. His yoke is easy. It produces in and through our lives. And it's through these areas. The reason why I brought this out in this area, let's read this real quick. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless Jesus..." Answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be..." Now listen to what he's thinking. Nicodemus is straight natural. And Nicodemus wasn't a young man. He was an older man. "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother womb and be born?" Well, see, sometimes we have what's the word? Not vernacular, but is it vernacular? Okay, I thought it was. Sometimes we have Christian vernacular. That's what I wanted to say. And we'll say things like, "The Spirit is coming upon you, brother." Well, if you've never known what the Spirit is, maybe you look and go, "Where's the door? I don't want anything to do with whatever spirit they're talking about." But we even see this when he says, "Born again." What does that matter? What has that got to do with kingdom business? It means there's a new nature coming upon you, that you're not born of the natural man. And that's what Jesus goes on to tell him. He says, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Go ahead. That which is born of the flesh, that's the natural. When you were born, I said you were born into sin, shapen in iniquity. Flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. So we'll hold there. That's good. So Jesus was explaining the plan of salvation, redemption to Nicodemus. You must be born again. In other words, the Bible even says it this way, except you come as a little child, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. Sometimes our preconceived ideas, sometimes the way we were raised or trained or grew up and our experiences will many times try to dictate even our walk with the Lord. It'll hinder us. That's why many times, Lord, let childlike faith come alive in me. Let me believe you for what I've never believed you for. Let me just take it as. When I told my kids when they were little, I'm picking on my kids for some reason, but when I told them I was little, if I told them I could fly, they'd tell everybody, Daddy can fly. So until I prove differently, what is that? That's called childlike faith. You're not going, well, Father, if you proveth it to me, in 17 steps, I'll believe it. They just simply took it for face value. And Jesus said, that's how I want you to come into the kingdom. I want you to come as a little child. Come and surrender your will, your thoughts, every preconceived idea. You know, I love that thought of, this is what this whole class is about. It's about foundation. It's about building and establishing. I love it because the Bible says, know ye not, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. That's what we're doing. We're building an earthly habitation for the Holy Spirit to operate. I don't know if that gets you excited. It does me, that God can use me, use this natural vessel. That's all he wants. He said, I need a clean vessel. I need a vessel that's without spot, without blemish, without wrinkles. I need you to sanctify because I want to use it. I want to pour my glory into it. Amen? How many want to be used by God this year? Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do. Not sit on a shelf somewhere, not look pretty, but let the glory of God, let the power of God flow in and through our lives, because he doesn't just go about. The Holy Spirit's not out there on 8th Street right now going door to door knocking. He's not going to the hospitals by himself. But he works with us, accomplishes God's purposes and plans in the earth. Isn't that exciting? God says, I've chosen you. That's why it says a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Thank God that it's no longer in a tabernacle with a veil that veil's been rent and torn. Now I have access to the throne. I have access to the Father. By the Holy Spirit, I can be led and he can guide me on life's journey. And it don't have to be a hard way. It's an easy way. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen? The next scripture I want to go to is Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, Pastor, if you have it. If he is not Lord of all, I've heard this years ago, and it's a hard saying, but it's true. If he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. What does that mean? Well, Lord, I'll let you in that area. That's not lordship. Now, I said that word, that one, I want to hit on that a little bit, because many times when we think of the word submit, Brother Zephan, what do we think of? When someone asks you to do something, you'll say, well, it's not really, serve is on there, but that's another one. But it says to submit, even the Bible tells us submit ourselves one to another. Now, my wife may ask me to do something, and I don't really want to do it. But I know it's for the better good. I know it's for the benefit of the all. Even when my flesh don't want to do it, there's time the Holy Spirit will say, go help your wife. Go do that. Not that I'm lazy. I'm a good man, right? Tell everybody. Wife verified it. But no, it's submitting yourself. Here's the thing sometimes. I'll submit myself, Brother Ryan, when I want to. That's not submission. Submission is when everything in you says, ain't going to do it. Don't feel like it. Nope, pick somebody else. That's not my calling, brother. That's not my anointing. I don't have time. Brother Gavin submitted himself. He doesn't have a snow removal business. And he does it. He went out there saying, oh, my, if I can shovel 7 more lots today, I believe I'll finally walk in full victory. No, he submitted himself to the vision of this house in serving. So that area of submission, even the lordship of Jesus, I told you there's two natures. I don't like the proverb because it's an Indian one, but I will say it is. The old Indian chief told the young man, he said, there are two wolves on the inside of you. And the young boy said, well, which wolf wins? He said, the one you feed the most. So that's the nature, that it's the dichotomy even of Christ. Christ emptied himself of all his heavenly attributes and became a man. You and I are on the opposite spectrum. We are dying to ourselves that Christ may rule and reign. Isn't that awesome? I mean, he who knew no sin became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God. So we that knew sin are now becoming the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the new birth. It don't happen overnight. It's a process. It's an exchange. It's I must decrease that he might increase. I love the scripture because the Bible says, Jesus said, if any man will follow me, lordship, let him what? Deny himself. Boy, that's a hard one. Y'all been fasting? Everybody been fasting? Something? Twinkies? Donuts? Boy, you go by that aisle. And commercials just, I wasn't even paying attention. I've got all kinds of recipes floating through my head right now. Because that old flesh is, come feed me. Feed me. I'm going to die. Feed me. You just ate. What, 12 hours ago? No, there's something about it. When you deny yourself, you tell your flesh, you ain't going to rule. Let me tell you, make that a habit in 2025. Flesh, you ain't going to rule. Boy, Brother Don, I just struggle. I struggle. The struggle is real, brother. Struggle is real. Give your flesh no place. The Bible says give no place to the devil, right? Resist the devil. Submit, there's that word, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I mean, he go running like a, you ever chase a dog off your property? They go squalling, man. Get out of here. That's what the devil does. But it's only by that word there, submit yourself. It's a tough word because your flesh will resist it. But just like Pastor Miranda was saying, if you'll serve in that capacity in a local church, even when you don't feel like it, find some place to get plugged in. Find some place in this body, whether it's through life groups, in the house, wherever you can do. I'm going to give my service. I'm going to yield this temple as an instrument for God to use. That's what these people do. We don't just plug people in and we don't hire people here, do we? We don't do job resumes. What do you feel qualified to do? What's your area of expertise? No, we place people in positions to serve in the house so that they can allow that anointing to flow. We got anointed lot people, right, Brother John? They don't just park cars. They're anointed. They're setting the stage, setting the atmosphere. He could have a confrontation with somebody in a parking lot, and they could go mad away from here and lose out with God for eternity. He's vital. The people who serve here, that greet at the door, you get by without a hug. You've been ducking and swerving, and I mean, you got to go real hard to get around somebody without getting a hug in this place. They minister to you, and it's not them. I love getting hugs from Minister Mara. These precious saints. Why is that? Because I feel the life of God flowing out of them. Because how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there I've commanded the blessing. Every time you step in this doors, you can't help but be blessed, Charity. It just flows. It's in this place. It's in the pews, chairs, pews, whatever. It's on the platform. It's in the bathroom. And bathrooms are anointed. Somebody cleans them every week. You don't have to walk in there thinking there's no devils in the bathroom. They've all been exorcised. That's the place of the body. And this is all about, you say, well, we're talking about the new birth. That's exactly right. I'm talking about getting engaged in his kingdom. If you're a servant, you belong to the kingdom, then you've submitted yourself to the king and his lordship. Whatever the king tells you to do, I'll do it, Lord. Take my life, Lord. Use these hands. Use this mouth. Use these feet. Brother Gary, I want to encourage you. I love you, my brother. So glad you're here tonight. But I want to tell you that because when I said feet there, the Lord just reminded me. I see Brother Gary, many of you here that are in Fairmont would see him walking around here. Gary, the Lord said you're not just exercising, but he said like a watchman, I've called you to this city. So this year, and I don't know, you may be already doing it, but I'm just going to tell you this. The instruction of the Lord is this year, begin to prophesy. Begin to declare as you walk. You've seen things. You've observed. You don't shoot your mouth off, but you do watch and you do see things. The Lord said, begin to command angels. Begin to take authority over those places that you walk, even establishments that need shut down. The Lord said, I give you permission. You're watching. He said, the watchman keeps silent. The people die in vain. So even as you walk, every mile you walk, and you walked thousands probably, you keep doing that for the glory of God. Amen? Amen, brother. I just had to obey the Lord. So, all right, Colossians chapter 1. Are we there? There we go. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Hallelujah. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, hallelujah, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, listen to this part, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We'll stop there. Praise God. So you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. You're no longer, don't ever, I hear people say that sometimes and I'm just like, that's a bad confession. I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. You know, Sister Amanda, we sin every day and repent every night. We're always going to have sin. It's always going to have to be a problem. That's not kingdom mentality. That means I'm always struggling. God's not wrestling with the devil. I know that picture looks cool, and the devil, I mean, I don't think he even has, you know, forked head and all that garbage, but it looks cool, but it's not even fathomable. You know, Jesus said this. I think of what Jesus said. He said, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. He ain't got to use the whole arm. Didn't say nothing about the forearm or the bicep. The guns. I'm using my guns today, Brother. He said, did you bring your guns? I got my guns. But he said, with the finger of God. It's not a wrestling match. It's not a struggle. The only struggle is not with God and the devil. It's with you. It's with what's inside you. There is a nature that we'll try to fight, that we'll try to wrestle again. That's part of the new birth experience. I'm not who I used to be. That old man is dead. Brother Stephen, I remember you telling me about some of your old friends calling you up. They just thought you were going, we're going to party like we did in the old day. And he won't get embarrassed by this, but he said, that's not who I am anymore. That man is dead. Now, I'm sure there was a part of him that remembered. about those parties and a part of him that enjoyed that fellowship. But what do? You put that nature under. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself. What's the new birth? It's denying yourself. Every day, Brother Hagin preached not just fasting once a year for a period, but he taught living a fasted lifestyle. Why do you do that? Because this flesh wants to constantly rear its ugly head. Any of you guys ever veg out? Don't raise your hand, but any of you guys ever, what do they call that, binge watching? Netflix, or your favorite Minister Leo, I said, don't raise your hand. I'm sure it was a chosen, right? Thank God. What is that? You know what I mean? I've done it before. And man, you just feel like you didn't get anything spiritual out of that whole mess. And you feel lethargic. It's like going to McDonald's and see how many people can put away the most Big Macs. It might be entertaining for a while, but it's very lethargic when you leave the restaurant. Deny yourself. I got to have my sports, Brother Justin. I got to have sports. I got to know every score. I got to know every pitch. I got to know every rating of the quarterbacks. I got to know my fantasy football league, man. I got to go with it, brother. You got to understand. I know there's prayer. I know they're having prayer there, but I mean, that's 6 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning. My flesh don't like 6 o'clock. My flesh don't like 8 o'clock. Does yours? Now somebody, Brother Jesse, would say, yeah. Brother Jesse likes getting up early. But most of us, no. It's not what my flesh wants. My flesh wants to sleep. He doeth well, the Bible says, if he sleepeth. So what is that? It's putting that, denying myself. Anybody ever got woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning? Not by accident. Not by accident. I had the Lord hit me the other night. Thought it was my wife. Literally. I said, thank God you didn't hit me like you did Joseph or Jacob. I don't want to have a limp, Lord. But he woke me up. Get up. Get out of bed. Just something about when you deny yourself. Oh, what's on the other side? It's so much better. So much greater. He's wanting to deposit something in you. He's wanting to take you higher. You know, Jesus, I think about the disciples where they toiled all the night and caught nothing. Anybody ever toil and just not get the benefit? Been working hard at something and saying, man, I worked so hard to accomplish this and feel like I'm spinning my wheels. One idea from the Lord. One simple act of obedience. Well, Lord, I never thought about that before. I mean, these were fishermen. They knew how to fish. They're looking at him in the natural going, you're a carpenter. What the heck you know about fishing? Cast your nets on the right side of the boat. One word from the Lord. What did it produce? More than they could have gathered the whole entire year. I mean, they were set, Brother John. They had to beckon for other boats to come in. They'd never seen a catch of fish like that. But it finally, one act of obedience. Lord, I'm going to fix a cake for my son and we're going to die. Because that's all we've got. Can you deny yourself? Can you make a cake for me first? What happened? Cruse of oil never ran out. The barrel of meal never ran out. What about that woman? I just got a little bit of oil in the house. Go and borrow some vessels. For what? Ain't enough oil to fill no vessels. Deny yourself. Do what the master, whatever he tells you to do. Fill up pots with water? You must be out your mind. They didn't ask for water. They want wine. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That takes some denying, John. Because nobody in the natural fills up buckets full of water and then says, go ahead and take them out. I'd have been in the back of that line. I'd want to see the miracle manifest first. Oh, yeah, I believed it the whole time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus got it going on. I knew what was going to happen. Now, when you deny yourself, the miraculous shows up. The supernatural is released in your life. When you say, not I that live, but Christ lives in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I must decrease. That's what happened. It's almost like God's just, I love it because when we talk about lordship, remember what Jesus told his disciples? He said, don't lord over the people as the Philistines, the you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would lure, they would make demands upon the people. Our Lord is such a wonderful Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but he's so patient with us. Isn't that awesome? Anybody ever got your arm twisted by God to give an offering? I never had that. He said a free will offering. He said you determine. He never usurps his the authority he's given us, but he says you choose this day what you. That's a wonderful Lord. But you know why? Because he loves us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's what God's done in our lives. That love that he's poured out. Even, you know, when he corrects us, that's not fun either. But he said, whom I love, I chastise. Even on those times where he's just saying, son, get it right. Daughter, get it right. Fix this. You know, remember I was talking about last week to hermartia, the Greek word. It means crooked. It means it's bent. You know, our parents, when we were young, would say, I'm going to straighten you out, boy. Mine did a lot, so I was ornery. But I'm going to straighten you out. That's what he did. But you know what? He does it for our good pleasure, for his good pleasure, so that he can operate in and through our lives. You can't have a crooked vessel. He wants you to be straightened out in those areas. So, and this is, again, we're dealing with the new birth and the lordship of Jesus in our lives. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 5:21 says, we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That's what pastors and leaders are for. Even you young people, the Bible talks about the older women in the church are to teach the younger women. Why is that? Experience, wisdom, counsel. Anybody that's got a hold of Jesus and has a prayer life, I want to listen to them. I want to submit myself. It doesn't matter about age there either. But you young men, get a hold of some men that got some wisdom that God's poured into and say, you know what, I'm going to submit myself. I know when you're young, you're 18 years old, you got the world figured out. I did until I didn't realize I did. Didn't have it figured out. But you know what? If you'll get yourself around good counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. This is all part of the new birth. Why? Because others have walked where you, there's two ways you can learn in life. You learn from your own mistakes, guilty, or you learn from the mistakes of others. So when you can find somebody who's walked and already been where you're headed, praise God, there's a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. They can say, son, let me teach you some things. Let me show you things the Lord helped me to learn along the way. Amen? That's what the Bible talks about. Why are there apostles and prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists in the local church? What are they for? They're for the building up of the body. They're for encouraging. They're for strengthening, equipping the saints for what? The work of the ministry. So that's why, because God has an anointing on their life. We're not doing it our own. You got to do it my way or the highway. That's not what we do. We just show you the way of the Lord and encourage you that way. I want to talk a little bit. The other way we're supposed to, in James chapter 4, we are to submit ourselves to God, as I talked about it just a moment ago. I want to talk about your identity just briefly here. And I won't go much longer. I know we're running a little bit late. But the identity, because this is something we see continually that people struggle with. And even in our, it's never become more more predominant in this last generation. We don't know if we're cats, if we're girls, if we're boys. And it's like the enemy, and I know it sounds funny, but it's actually ridiculously, insanely true. But why is that? Because I know, as we studied last week, we know who God made us to be, right? We know that Adam was the son of God. He had dominion over the whole earth. That's who my great, 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 on and on and on, grandfather was. He was ruler. He had dominion in the earth. That's what God gave him. But God, the devil stripped that identity. How do I know that? Because he's naked. And God didn't. You know what the funny thing about it? God didn't come around going, y'all naked. He said, who told you you were naked? Isn't that awesome? That shows the love and mercy of God. He don't look at us, John, and point out our weaknesses or our faults. He pours his strength into us. Isn't that awesome? And even in the garden, God wasn't going, nee, 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 shame. That word there, I hate it when I hear, shame on you. Shame on you. You miss it over the weekend. You get ready to go to church on Sunday morning. And the devil starts going, shame on you. You dirty old sinner. You going to go to that house today? You going to go in there and lift your hands up? You hypocrite? The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Shut that mess up in 2025. Say, devil, I don't care if what you believe is true. I know who he's made me to be. Because that don't go away. God's not an Indian giver. What he's deposited in your life, he's made you the righteous. He don't take that away. He just says what? Get that mess out of your life. He convicts us. I love that. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father through Christ Jesus. Who's what? Faithful and just to cleanse us from all, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Justin's always got the nice kicks on his feet. Those are called shoes for you that are over 50. But the kicks that my brother wears all the time, he's always got nice looking shoes. Do you just throw them away when you get mud on them outside? No, you take them home and give them a nice little bath there, don't you? Wash them up. Put some wax on them, whatever you need. Make them look good again. That's what he does with us. How's he do it? By the washing of the water of the word. You'll notice, and I do it on purpose, I use a lot of scripture because God's word doesn't fail. God's word won't return void. Why do we say, we encourage, we read it in our devotions every morning. We read the word of God. I encourage every one of you at the start of the year, if you've never read through the Bible, start today, please. There are Bible apps out there that'll keep you right on track. Takes just a few moments out of your day. How many go to the bathroom every day? While you're on that throne, enjoy his throne, okay? Just grab that app, click on it. Let the word of God get in your spirit. Let it transform you. It's awesome. They got chronological Bibles. They've got historical Bibles. They got it from Genesis to Revelations. They've got it in probably hundreds of interpretations. I mean, get it in, if you really want to enjoy yourself and have a little laugh while you're in the bathroom, get it in Pidgin. Amen? Yeah. If you have to ask God that, Brother Minister Lee Howe will share with you. That's a Hawaiian version. But it gives you a little comical. You get truth and comedy mixed in with one. Amen? All right, let's go to Romans real quick, Pastor, and I'll wrap up here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Hallelujah. That deny yourself, live a crucified life, follow him and let him be Lord. That's the key to making him Lord. And that key is surrender. It's yielding yourself, surrendering yourself. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I want to hit it just real quick here. Why is that? Because there's a message called hyper grace. We heard the word of the Lord tonight that there's going to be a great grace that's going to come upon this house. What is that? It's not the grace to excuse you from, but to empower you to. Amen? Now, I want to encourage you that way while we're here. Because the Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. So I ain't got to just be going out, you know, lying and cheating and stealing, even when I disobey the Lord or when I get into unbelief and operate in that area. That allows sin to operate in my life. So even then, I want grace. I want the grace of God to empower me to live free from sin. Amen? So that's why I was joking around a little bit ago, and I said, well, you know, we sin every day, and you got to repent, and I know. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We're only made righteous by the blood of Jesus. But I don't have to identify any longer as that old nature. I can identify with the new man. I am a born-again child of God. He calls me his very own. Jesus is my brother. And the devil has no relation at all. Amen? I don't belong to your kingdom. Don't come knocking. I don't pay no dues to the devil any longer. He's not my God. Why? Because I don't allow him to exercise lordship over me any longer. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost back me up. So I can look at the devil and I can tell him where to go and how quickly to get there. Amen. Amen. What shall, where's verse 2? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's the new life we're talking about. Amen. Go ahead. For if we have been united together, that's what God's made us to be, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this, our old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. How many know that song? I'm no longer. I don't have the keys up. A lot of them back are laughing at me like, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. That's the new birth. I'm not living to the old man. I'm living the new life in Christ. Likewise, here it tells you, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll stop there. That's that new birth. That's all God's trying to work in us through the new birth and allow lordship. He's not demanding lordship over you. He's saying, if you'll make me the Lord over your life, I'll rule and reign on your heart. I'll help you. You know, the Holy Spirit's our helper. We don't even have to really have to, you know, guess. He brings conviction. Turn that off. Don't go there. The promptings, the gentle nudgings of the Holy Spirit. We just got to realize a lot of times because we've ostracized ourselves, because we put ourselves in a position where we're not hearing from God. Maybe we've slacked on our prayer life. Maybe we've slacked from the Word. Why are they? Seek ye not the things which are temporal, but eternal. See, what Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. When you go after the things of the kingdom, in your prayer life, in reading of the Word, in consecrating your life to God, that's when all God says, there's a vessel I can use. It's not by accident that people use. Well, they must say, that Brother Don, he just got lucky. That's why he's preaching. No, I was probably worse than you were. Paul said I was the chiefest of sinners. I mean, he knew how to sin and do it right. I was a good sinner. But thank God, God took my life and redeemed my life from destruction. And he said, there's a vessel, and all he wants. You know, a lot of people say, and it seems so simple, but all he wants is your yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The old song we used to sing, go ahead and stand to your feet. I won't keep you much longer. Minister Lee Howe, the old song used to sing this, if you know it. I loved this song growing up. It was probably in every youth group across America. And the song says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, we'll trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord. Does he have your yes? With every head bowed in this place, before we leave, as my friend always says, Lord, is there anything between me and you? Is there any sin, Lord, that I've committed? Is there? I'm going to ask you that tonight. The Bible says, let a man examine his own self. This is not the pointing of the finger, but only you know that in your heart tonight. Is there anything that has separated you from it? The Bible says there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God. But if there's any sin in your heart today, you say, Brother Don, I just feel convicted in this area. Maybe you've known the Lord. Maybe you haven't fully obeyed the Lord. But if that's you and you'd like to pray, or if you've never, this new birth, you're saying, man, this sounds pretty cool. This is pretty awesome. I want to be a part of this. If that's you, either in this place today or listening, and you say, I want to make a decision for Christ. I want that new life. I'm tired of this old flesh. I want to be born again. The Bible says, except you are born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. I know now what it means to be born again. And I want to be part of that. If that's you today, or if you just say, I want to rededicate my heart. I want to repent of sin tonight. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt when I leave this place, there's not one sin between me and a holy God. If that's you, just simply raise a hand up. No shame. The Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. So if that's you tonight, just raise a hand. Say, Lord, tonight I'm going to repent of that. Turn my back. That's what repentance is. We missed to get there tonight. But it's just simply to turn around, to do a 180, not a 360. We're going to leave sin. But turn around. We'll do a 180. Turn your back on sin and to the Father. Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, that I could walk in newness of life, that the old man filled with sin was a body of death, leading to destruction and an eternity away from you. But tonight I receive that blood that was shed for every one of my sins. Every one of my sins. The blood makes me whole and cleanses me tonight. Thank you, Lord, for dying on a cross. Thank you, Lord, for being buried. And thank you, Lord, for raising from the dead. I now have that promise of eternal life with you. I'm born again. My life is hid with God in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. My name is written, the Lamb's Book of Life. Right now, I don't identify as a sinner any longer. But I've been born again. I am a child of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, questions. If you have any questions, I'll be more than glad, or Pastor Rand or Pastor Brad, to answer them. How many got something tonight? Did you enjoy that? God, I'm excited. I really am. I know every time you when it comes to the beginning of the year, you hear all these, you know, I'm going to lose weight and got New Year's resolutions, but I feel like it's more than just a resolution. I feel like there's a spiritual revolution about to take place. How many want to be on the front lines? I don't want to miss anything, Brother Ray. It's one thing I asked the Lord. I heard Oral Roberts say it years ago. He said, God is raising up 10,000 miracle workers. I said, oh God, let me be one of them. Let me be right there on the front lines. You know, I've never raised the dead, but I'm not going to turn down any opportunity. It's not me anyway. I didn't get a degree in it. But there's an anointing on the believers to operate and to do the works that he's called us to do. When the church activates that, oh, what power. Oh, what anointing. Like Sister Amanda was saying, the testimonies. Not that we're trying to outdo each other, but you're almost probably going to have to line up to tell the testimonies of what God has been doing in our lives. That's all about the new birth. It's all about making him Lord. When the Lord tells you to do something, I learned a lesson when I was in Bible school years ago. It's just about his lordship. And I remember it was a real snowy day, kind of like what we have now. And I was leaving the Bible school, and I'd gotten down the road, and I went by this lady's house. It was an elderly lady. I mean, she had gray hair, so I don't know how old she was. I didn't ask her age because I'm smarter than that. But I was driving by, and I felt quickened, Brother Gavin, like you did. I felt quickened. I need to do something. I need to help her. The Lord, and it was more than even that. It was the Lord said, stop and offer to help her shovel her driveway. I thought, man, I got a lot to do. I got to work. I'm working two shifts. I got to go eat before I get a few hours of sleep, because I was coming off the midnight shift and just went straight to school. I had a lot to do. But I obeyed the Lord. I turned around. I went back. I pulled up. You can see I'm not a skinny man. I'm a very large man. And that very large man sometimes is intimidating. And I had a big old coat on because it was cold. So she got a little scared. I noticed that because her pupils were a little dilated and large. But I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask you, could I shovel your driveway for you? I'd love to. Oh, no. I said, ma'am, I would love to. I said, I just want to do it. I wanted to volunteer to do it. She said, no, thank you. I have it. Well, I got in my car. I thought, man, I totally missed it. Thought I'm hearing from the Lord. And then I heard the Lord said, I just wanted to see if you were willing to do it. He said, I didn't tell you she'd let you do it, but you showed me you were willing to do it. That's it. That simple, small voice. He's not on a bullhorn, Brother Chris. It's that still, small voice. Tune that in this year. Tune out everything that's noise and tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit this year. I'm telling you, he'll take you into realms of glory that you've never known before. He'll cause you to skip a lot of problems. Many times, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and I'll be the first to admit it, I've ignored them and I had to pay a price. There's always a price to ignoring the Lord. But if you'll be led, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. If anything I can encourage you with in closing tonight, listen for that voice. Tune everything out. One thing about fasting, it does. Your senses get sharpened, right? You hear a little clearer. You smell a lot stronger. You see a lot better. You think sharper. That's what fasting does. But when you deny yourself, you stop listening to that flesh. You say, flesh, you're no longer going to have a voice. Put a muzzle on him. Say, flesh, shut up. You ain't got a say in it. And say, Father, I yield myself. Lay your hands on your ears as we close tonight. Hallelujah. You said in your word, Lord, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Father, I thank you that our ears are anointed to hear your precious Spirit. Lord, that frequency would be direct and clear. Give us ears to hear clearly, Lord, that we may be led throughout this coming year, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I love you guys. Pastor Brett?
We're going to close. One thing about lordship that is very significant is just like that, just like Gavin, when he becomes Lord of your life, it's always going to be directed towards people. Yeah. It will always be directed towards people. We think sometimes it's about us, that it is about us growing, but why did Christ come? He came for people. So lordship in your life always is going to be, yeah, God's here to help you, yes, but lordship is always directed around you. you being, it's just one aspect of it. I just, even as you said that, you talked about Gavin earlier, but be mindful of that. Be mindful of how you can help, because that shows the Lord that you're listening, and it shows that, hey, he's Lord over my life. I'm not first in this thing. Others around me are first. Amen. So praise God. Lift your hands. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Spirit of truth, I pray blessings and favor over this house. I thank you, Father, that your word says that we shall be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Lord, that we're blessed coming and blessed in our going. Lord, we thank you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.